take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, talking about marriage here. Now, I do want you to understand tomorrow, I'll pull all of this together in starting out in Sunday school, but I'll pull all of this together and we'll go through and we'll see exactly how to have a real, intimate, personal, and passionate relationship with God. So 1 Corinthians, stand together again as we read out of respect to God and His Word, 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 4. The Bible says, charity, or the word charity means love, suffereth long and is kind. See it? Charity or love envy noteth itself. Charity, love, vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Father, we thank you again this morning for the opportunity that is ours to come into your house, to fellowship one with another, to open your word, and I submit myself to you right now. I pray that the Holy Spirit will be our teacher and we'll have free course in the next few minutes. And God, that you'll work in hearts and lives here. Open your word to us. Make it real to us. Help us to understand. And God, bring the truth to our heart in a powerful way. And we ask for your help. I need your help. And I pray you'll help me. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Okay, the six keys are maturity, spiritual and emotional, submission, love, and that's what we're going to talk about now. Then we talked about communication earlier, prayer and Christ, okay? Now, probably no other word is more misunderstood in the English language than love. Most people today don't know what love is. They often confuse physical attraction, lust, personal desire, sympathy, or compassion with love. Now, love is one of the most common experiences of man and one of the most difficult to define. Now, Webster defines it as a feeling of strong personal attachment induced by sympathetic understanding or by ties of kinship, ardent affection. Okay? Now turn back to Ephesians 5. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 28, or verse 25, I'm sorry. Verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Now, go down to verse 28. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Now, and in verse 33, says, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. A godly marriage is two saved, spirit-controlled people. That's what a godly marriage is. And the Bible says the love of a husband for his wife should equal his love for himself. God instructed him to love his wife sacrificially as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And folks, no woman can be unhappy when given that kind of love. And the husband that gives that kind of love will be the recipient of sacrificial love. Like God, love cannot be seen, but we know of its existence because of its effects. It's easier to describe love than define it. Now, although many have attempted a description of love, in all the annals of literature, there is none that compares with these masterful words that came from the Apostle Paul in the great love chapter of 1 Corinthians 13. Charity or love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. There are 9 characteristics of love found in 1 Corinthians 13. Patience, kindness, generosity, humility, courtesy, unselfishness, good temper, guilelessness, which means a lack of deceit, and sincerity. Keep those characteristics in mind and examine your love to see if it meets God's standards of acceptable expression. These 9 characteristics or expressions of love communicate the love of one human being with another in terms that are meaningful to everyone, regardless of race or background. You know, Kim and I have been married more than 48 years. And she has been a tremendous helper and encourager. And she has encouraged me. I see her at the table every day, opening her Bible, seeking God's face. You know, I have learned to listen to her, because I know that she has a real relationship with God. And when I say listen to her, we have practiced something for 48 years, okay? Ever since we got saved. Being who we are and as busy as we are, you know, I retired as a pastor. I didn't retire. I just moved over. Okay? And for, you know, for all those years, and we did the counseling center as well as pastoring the churches. And you know, Kim is in every, when we're dealing with husbands and wives, she's in every session. Now, there are some things that sometimes I move her out because of some very bad wickedness that she doesn't need to hear. But we've practiced something that has been very beneficial to us. Because of our serious schedule, every Sunday night after church, we take a drive. And we talk. And we've done that for years. And I'll ask her questions like, if I preached or somebody else preached, you know, did God show you? What did God show you today? And she'll share it with me. Or she'll ask me, you know, what did God speak to you about today? And we'll talk about the different things that God has been speaking to our heart about. Now, when it comes down to it, you know, we are in sync as much as the fact that sometimes we finish each other's sentences, and you know, and the fact of the matter is that Kim knows, because she knows who I am, what I am. She knows that if I'm going to make a decision, I'll make the right one, because I will ask God what to do. Amen? And so she has confidence in me that I will make the right decision. Now, I'm not going to, guys, I'm not going, if my wife is a spirit-controlled person, I'm not going to use the mentality that many do. Shut up, woman, and get in the corner. I ask her questions. And by the way, asking questions is the way to pull things out of the heart. So I ask her questions. She asked me questions. And for the purpose of heart issues. Okay? What's in the heart? By the way, let's talk about children for just a second. So, when children get to be about 17, 18, you know, 16, 17, 18, parents start getting worried about what they're going to do. And we always taught all the folks in our church is this, learn to ask your children heart questions. Okay? Who, what, when, where, how, why? So one of our children, you know, when she was 16, I thought that God spoke to my heart, I need to spend some more time with her. And so every Sunday after church, we would go in the car, after lunch, we would go in the car, and we would go get a soda, and we would drive around and talk, and we would talk about different things. And I would ask her heart questions. What do you think about that? What do you think about this? How does that work? Who do you think did that? You get my point? Or not? Asking her heart questions. Now, I'm going to take this a step farther. As a dad and a mom, as a husband and a wife, hear me. Is there anything in my child's heart, God, that I need to know about? You hear me? Is there anything I need to know about in her heart? Now, it's going to be a whole lot easier for me to deal with if I know that there's something there, right? So I ask God the question, is there anything in his or her heart that I need to know? And when God shows it to me, then I can say, okay, Elizabeth, what do you think about this? Not jumping down her throat. But what do you think about this? So that I can get her to communicate to me. Get it? Amen? Yes or no? Amen. So that it's not me, you just in the car running around with her saying, now listen, you shut up and listen to what I'm telling you. Now, does your dad ever do that? No? Okay. But the whole point here of it is I want to know what's in my child's heart. And God can show me that. The Bible says that God is the searcher of the heart. God, the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to let him search. And I'm going to let him tell me. Is there anything in her heart? Now let's go a little bit farther. Is there anything in my wife's heart I need to know? Is there anything in my husband's heart I need to know? Now, by the way, you can't do that unless you have a real, intimate, personal, and passionate relationship with God. Now, at the end of the day here, ladies and gentlemen, so I'm riding along with my daughter. And so she said something that I didn't agree with. And I knew it wasn't correct. Now, here's a moment where I can make a huge mistake or I can do something that's going to change your life. Now, if I say at that point, you know better than that, and I don't want to hear you ever say that again, and don't talk about that ever again, I'll lose her heart. And what have I just done? What did I just do? Yes, I shut down communication. So the answer is, what do you think about that? Or what do you think the Bible says about that? Let's find out. Okay, and so I would have her, hey guys, up here, I want you to understand, I would have her then find five verses on that subject in the Bible. And it was amazing how many times she came back and said, and write down two things that you learned. And if she could find them, I would find them for her. But generally speaking, she could find them. And you know what would happen? She came back to me more than once and said, Dad, I never thought that the Bible talked about that way. So it changed her wrong thinking to God's right thinking. Amen? Okay, but if I had never taken the time to spend that time with her, I would have never known it. And she would have went on into making a destructive path. Now, so, again, communication is important, but love is about communication as well. The love that God requires of a husband for his wife, and listen to me carefully, the love that God requires of a husband for his wife and wife for her husband is a supernatural love. Supernatural love. Self-preservation is the first law of life. Therefore, to love someone else as your own body demands a supernatural kind of love. It's just not possible for a man to love his wife that way of his own accord. He has to have a real relationship with God. Now turn back to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. And look at verse 7. It says here, Beloved, let us love who? One another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. So love is of who? God. Okay, so I need to be a spirit-controlled person, and she needs to be a spirit-controlled person, so we have supernatural love within our relationship. Not just lust. You know, supernatural love. Now, there are times when, you know, God, here's the deal. God never commands us to do that which He will not enable us to do. He says, so husbands, to love his wife with supernatural love. And we can call upon Him, the author of love, and know that He'll supply us with that kind of supernatural love. Titus 2:4 says that they, talking about women, that they may teach the young women to be sober, I mean serious, to love their husbands, to love their children. Now that's talking about a supernatural love. You know, and this is the only time the wife is commanded to love her husband in the Bible is in Titus 2:4. The husband is commanded at least three times to love his wife in Ephesians 5:28, 25, 28, 33. Now, many people try to apply biblical principles who are not spirit-controlled people. And that just doesn't happen. There's something we need to remember. A good marriage is worked at. It just doesn't happen. Now, I want to give you four things to remember about love this morning. Number one, love is kind. Love is kind. One of the primary characteristics of love is kindness. And somehow many of those having trouble in marriage have forgotten to show kindness to their mate. They want to receive kindness, but they forget to give it. Now, you know, years ago, some of you might have already heard it. Those of you that have been in a counseling conference have heard it. But years ago, a lady came up to me after church and said, "Pastor, I am so upset. I am really angry. And we got a major problem, and we need to talk about it, and I need your help." And she's going on and on and on, you know, and I'm thinking, my goodness, this is really bad. And so, okay, we set up a time. And so the husband and the wife come in, and I'm thinking this is really bad news, you know, and so they come in and sit down. And I said, okay, now you've talked with me about this briefly, so why don't you tell me what the problem is? And she says, "I have told him and told him and told him and told him not to squeeze the toothpaste tube in the middle." I could barely contain myself. You know, I thought, this is what all of this is about? And she was angry. And so finally, I looked over at him, and I said, "Well, is that true?" And he says, "Yeah, Pastor, it is." Well, he was just messing with her and made her angry. Okay? And so then I sat there for a minute, and I'm thinking, okay, what am I going to do here? So I said, "Have you two ever thought about having two toothpaste tubes? One for you and one for him?" And she says, "Oh, Pastor, oh, you are so smart. Oh," she says, "you're such a great counselor. Oh, the truth that you have given us today. Oh, you're wonderful." And I'm about ready to die laughing, but I can't do that. And she's, "Oh, thank you so much. You've helped us so much today." And she walks out. Well, I wish they were all that easy, okay? But some people get worked up. Or some people work other people up on purpose. You wouldn't do that, would you? Nah. No. You know, have you ever heard older brothers messing with their sisters, you know, teasing them, or younger, whatever? You wouldn't do that. Nobody here do that, right? Okay? But the whole point of it is, love is what? Kind. Okay? And there are guys who would do something just to irritate their wife. Just for the purpose of getting them going. And then sit back and laugh about it. And they think that's okay. By the way, you will stand before God for that. But you'll also create an atmosphere of bitterness in your life. So love is kind. This is a supernatural love. Now, I know what Kim likes. Kim is a rock collector. And she has rocks from all over the world. We have rocks from Israel. We have rocks from Ireland. We have rocks from a lot of different countries from around the world. She loves rocks.
I like these shiny ones too.
Yeah, I know that. All right, I got that. Thank you, honey. I appreciate that. Thank you for testifying. You know, now, so one day I asked God, I'm driving, and the town that we started our church in is not a big town, but it had a lapidary. Does anybody know what a lapidary is? Yeah, they cut and polish rocks there. And so I asked God, what could I do? What could I do to encourage Kim today? And God said, get her a rock. So I pull into the lapidary. I walked in there and I said, you know, I was looking around, they had shelves and shelves of, what they do is they cut spheres. And they had them all on shelves and everything. I'm looking around and I said, wow. I said, do you have, what's your cheapest rock? And the guy comes out with a $130 rock. I'm like, wow. Down at the creek, I can get him better now, you know. So he comes out with this rock at $130, you know. And I said, well, do you have anything cheaper than that? And he comes out with one. It was $110, you know. And it was a rock from Colorado that had been polished into a sphere cut. And polished. It was beautiful. And so I said, do you have any stands for him? And he said, yeah, it's $20. So now I'm $130 into this rock. I thought, well, okay, I'm gonna get it because God told me to. So I said, well, for $130, do you wrap these things? He said, yeah, we can wrap it for you. So he wrapped it up, and you know, I took it home, and you know, and I gave it to her, and she opened it up, and she goes, oh, this is so beautiful. Oh, thank you. It's so kind. Thank you. You know? And she's picked it up. She's looking at it. And she's walks around in the living room, you know, and other rooms of the house and kind of looking where she wants to put it. And, you know, and everything. And, you know, about 10, 15 minutes of, wow. And it was. It was really nice looking. So, you know, and so I'm thinking, well, I did good today, okay? And she was really happy. And so later, we go to where is it we went to?
Colorado to Estes Park.
Estes Park, yes, in Colorado. And so we pull up to Estes Park, and you know it's up in the mountains. It's they have all kinds of shops and everything. Of course, the first thing you see there's a rock store. So we walk in, and I look up half to the left, and on that shelf, there was that rock. $29. I got robbed. That's what I got, you know? But it was worth it, amen? It was worth it, okay? But I still got robbed, okay? But it was worth it. Love is what? Kind. And so I'm going to ask God, Pastor, I'm going to ask God every day, how can I encourage Kim? How can I encourage her today? And one of the things that we teach people is about asking God to show you someone that you can encourage every day. Learning to ask God questions is submission. So who can I encourage today? Now, but I need to work on encouraging Kim. She wants to work on encouraging me. And she does, by the way. And, you know, every now and then I send out a text to a whole list of people I have on my phone that is called Encouragement for Today. And I will, you know, through my devotions, I'll see a verse, and God really just, it just comes right out of the page at me, and there's a great truth in it, and I'll send it along to others, and they'll say, Encouragement for Today. And, you know, here God showed me this verse today. Just wanted to send along to you for encouragement. And I maybe comment on a little bit on a word or what it meant. And, you know, rejoice in the Lord today. Be encouraged in Him. And I'll get back a lot of people saying, you don't know how much that helped me today. It encouraged me today. It doesn't have to be big. You know, but every day I'm going to ask God, who do you want me to encourage today? But I need to keep Kim in mind very carefully and asking God specifically, how can I encourage her today? So the first thing about love is kind, the Bible says. Secondly, love shows approval. You know, most people would agree that the basic needs of man are love and approval. And the more we love someone, the more we naturally seek his or her approval. For that reason, if a person does not express love, by showing approval occasionally, is going to have a dissatisfied mate. And folks, disapproval is a more vicious way of inflicting punishment upon another human being than physical abuse. The sad part is the thing that people disapprove of in their partner is usually blown out of proportion, making the problem greater than it is. It's good to ask yourself, do I express approval of my partner? You know, do I express approval of my partner? You say, me, approve him. You've probably heard, I know S.M. Davis has been here. I was telling Pastor, we've preached back-to-back before. And one of the things he said, and I thought was excellent, was you may not love your child, or you may not love what your child is doing, but you can always love your child. And, of course, we've talked about that. And, you know, I can't approve of wickedness, but I can sure find something to try to encourage them about. And, you know, so encouragement is a big tool within the Scripture. So if I'm going to build a godly marriage, it's not just that we're going to get married and we're going to live in this little white house with the little white fence and it's all going to be lollipops and rainbows. Okay? You know, that it's going to be lollipops and rainbows and we're going to, you know, but it's going to work if you encourage each other. And you, listen to me, ask God how to encourage her. Ask God how to encourage him. And listen for what he says. Now, the sad part is the thing that people disapprove of is usually blown out of proportion. Now, it's good to ask yourself a question. Am I expressing approval of my partner? Listen to my next statement. Most people respond better to communication than condemnation. Now turn back to Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12. So love is kind. Love shows approval. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 25. Notice what the Bible says. Heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it what? Glad. So encourage your partner. Ask God how to encourage him or her. Now, not only is love kind, love shows approval, but love can be rekindled. Love can be rekindled. Generally speaking, when people come for marriage counseling, the woman many times says, I don't love him anymore. And sometimes the man says that as well. But I always take the couple to the area where they first got married. And I ask, did you love him or her then? And generally the answer is yes. And then I then take them to the Bible and mention that God commands us to be spirit-controlled. And then I take them to the passages that tell us we're to love our husband or wife. Now, God has commanded you and me to love our partners. And if you find love beginning to wane, then go to your Heavenly Father, the author of love, and he'll give you a new love for your partner. And while you're praying about it, start being as nice as you can to your partner. Now, one of the things I do is I always say, like I'll start off with a woman, Gene. And I'll say, if you had one thing that you could do for your partner, what would it be? If you had one thing that you could do for your partner, what would it be? It's interesting. About 95% of the time, the wife says, I would be kinder. And my response is, then do that. Look for ways to be kind. Pray about ways to be kind. pray about kindness. Think about how you can be kind. Because love is what? Kind. Love is kind. So think about ways you can be kind. Now, you know, through our ministry, we've been able to travel all over the United States and several foreign countries, and been to Israel, and I mean, we've seen a lot of different things and cultures and people and different things of that nature. But something that works in all cultures is love is kind. You know, while you're praying about it, I always tell the ladies and men, while you're praying about it, start being as nice and kind as you can be to your partner. Learning how to communicate properly is the first step in rekindling love. Now, yelling, screaming, and saying mean and inappropriate things will not help you rekindle love. It'll only build a higher wall with emotions that say, I do not love him or her. And remember, immature people and non-spirit-controlled people, they want to receive kindness, but they don't want to give it. And ask God to help you to be kind and give out kindness. Now, okay, love is kind, all right? Love is kind. Then we said that love shows approval and love can be rekindled. And finally, women respond to love. Women respond to love. I never cease to amaze at the endurance of a woman's love. You know, women have told me things about their husbands that could earn them the title, the ugliest and meanest thing you ever saw. But they end by saying, but I still love him. You know, men would never put up with some of the things that most women are forced to endure. We have a book up here called Dealing with Domestic Violence. Now, I'm just going to say this to you. Well, Kim and I have counseled hundreds and hundreds of couples about their marriage. One out of four women in the United States have been the victims of domestic violence. So what's that tell you, Pastor? The church has domestic violence too. We've dealt with that. And I want you to understand that domestic violence, actually, one out of nine men in the United States have been the victim of domestic violence. Isn't that interesting? A woman doing domestic violence on her husband. Now, one of our churches was near a large Air Force base. We had Air Force people coming in all the time for, you know, they come in, they're there for a while, and then they, of course, are shipped off somewhere else. So one night, 3 o'clock in the morning, got called out to a house. Two Air Force people. And, you know, didn't sound good. By the time we got out there, the wife is sitting on the couch with her little baby. The husband is in the bedroom hiding. And she had taken a chair and threw it through a 52-inch television. I'm not so sure why a person would want a 52-inch television, but that's another story. She threw the chair through the 52-inch television, tore up all the marriage pictures, threw them at him, hit him in the head with a baby bottle, hit him in the head with the cell phone, and he went and hid in the bedroom. So, she's sitting here, and I said to her, obviously, you've been the aggressor here. I know, Pastor, I know. I said, do you realize that if the police had been called, you could be charged? Also, they could take this baby. Do you understand that? I know, Pastor, I know. And I said, the other thing is, what would happen if he decided to fight back? And she looked at me, She says, I could take him. She didn't get it, did she? No. Love is kind. Love is kind. Come to find out, she grew up in a broken home in the inner city of New York. She had to fight for everything she got. So it's very, very difficult to get her to understand that that doesn't work in marriage. Now, so love, women respond to love. Now, whatever the cause, I'm convinced that a woman has far greater capacity to love a man than a man has to love a woman. And I've yet to see a woman who will not respond to real biblical love. And folks, no man in his right mind is going to present himself as an authority on women. But most of us say they're complex creatures, and they are. Like other men, I don't claim to be an authority on feminine matters. But I have come to one basic conclusion. Many Christian men do not know how to make a woman happy. Men, it is not money, although Kim said diamonds, furs, houses, or other things that make a woman happy, but just plain love. You know, Kim and I have traveled all over together. And you know one thing she tells me? And she won't mind me saying this. She says, I love it most when we're together and we're home. I love it the most when we're together and we're home. When we're home together. You know, when our youngest daughter left to go to Bible college many years ago, our youngest daughter is, what, 42 now, Kim? 42. I know I don't look that old. Right? But, and our oldest daughter's 46. So they're middle-aged people. And when our youngest daughter left the home to go to Bible college, Kim said the nicest thing to me she could have said. She says, I've waited for this day. She said, just you and me. And I'm so happy. Not that our daughter left, but that we could be together. She said, I've waited for this day. Now, she couldn't have said anything nicer, could she? No. Because of the fact that it was now just me and her. And, you know, I've enjoyed that. You know, happy is the wife whose husband knows and tells her that if given the chance to marry all over again, he would choose the same bride. And, you know, it's men, it's not money, diamonds, furs, houses, other things that make a woman happy, but just plain love. Not love-making, but the treatment that produces love-making, kindness, thoughtfulness, understanding, acceptance, or approval, and the recognition on the part of the husband that he's just not complete without her. I know I'm not. She completes me. I complete her. Happy is the wife whose husband knows and tells her that if given the chance to do it all over again, he would choose the same bride. And whenever a man tells me my wife doesn't love me anymore, I immediately know that he's a man who has not loved his wife as his own body. And if he had, she would return his love, which is just the nature of women. Now, I'm going to quickly do this. I'm going to give you 10 things real quick, okay? Number one, compliment and praise each other. Compliment and praise each other. Anyone can criticize, but very few people compliment. Praise is a powerful magnet. Spend time alone together. Number two, spend time alone together. Many couples do not spend enough or hardly any time alone together. And the amount of time together is so important as the is not so important as the quality of the time. You can communicate better, understand each other better when you're alone. Time alone will not come automatically. You have to make it. And then, you know, now Kim will say, you know, we get, you know, there was a point in time here that we were getting 300 emails a week from people asking for help. That's hard to read 300 emails a week, let alone respond to them. And a lot of people get angry if you don't respond. But just reading them, there would be times that I would say to her, I have to stop reading now. Okay, I've read so much filth here, I don't want to read any more filth. Can't do that right now. I'm going to have to take some days away from this. And I didn't respond. Then I came to the conclusion that the best way to handle this was multiply the doers. And so that's when we started doing the national conferences and training people. And now more than 1,000 pastors have went through that. And so therefore, you know, if Pastor Knickerbocker goes through it, then I can, you know, somebody calls me from Delaware who has a problem. I say, I know somebody can help you in Delaware. So we don't have to deal with it. Not that we don't want to, but multiply the doers so that, and it'll help the churches in that area. Because it takes away from my time and Kim's time alone. So, number three, remember each other with gifts. Guys, if she likes rocks, you know where to get them. Amen? Number four, be courteous to each other. Number five, be quick to assume the blame for actions. Number six, concentrate on being the right partner rather than changing your partner. Number seven, I'll say six again. Concentrate on being the right partner rather than changing your partner. Then number seven, be generous with your outward affection. More than anything else, your mate needs your affection. If you don't show affection, someone else might likely do so. Number eight, share little things with each other. Poems, stories, scripture, happenings. Share these and more. Number nine, encourage each other. Everyone's a little tired. Everyone's a little discouraged. Your wife or husband needs encouragement, and say words of encouragement. Lastly, pray for each other and with each other. Prayer changes your mate. It also changes you. It's hard to hold grudges against the one you're praying for and with. Prayer is your greatest resource, and use it. Now, I want to say this to you as a final statement on this. A good marriage is something that is worked at. It just doesn't happen. A good marriage is something that is worked at. It just doesn't happen. It takes a spirit-filled man to be the leader of the home, of his home, and a spirit-filled woman to respond to a spirit-filled man. The fruit of the Spirit is love, and one of the keys of a successful marriage is love. Now, I hope I've made that as plain as I can, but learning how to communicate and learning how to have love in your marriage. Spirit-filled man, spirit-filled woman, focusing on each other positively, seeking to encourage each other, seeking to pray with each other. Work on being kind, caring, and thoughtful with your partner. Tell them how much you care for them. Seek to do kind things for them. Pray about the areas you struggle with and ask God to help you have the fruit of the Spirit in your life towards your partner. I want to say this to you guys. There's never a day that goes by that I don't tell Kim I love her. You know why? Because I do. And secondly, I don't ever want her to think that I don't love her. I don't want her to ever think that. That thought to even cross her mind that I don't love her. Love will cover a multitude of sin. But I want her to know it. And she, every day she'll tell me she loves me. And there's not a doubt in my mind that she loves me. And that makes our bond a lot stronger. Love in marriage is a big deal. And it's important to encourage.